Welcome to a new episode of Liftoff, a Jets football podcast, with your hosts, Chris, and from playlikeajet.com, Mr. Sharman Phillip. Remember, you can follow us on Twitter, /X, at Liftoff Jets. You can follow myself at CP7NY. You can follow Sharman at GrownFolk1980. And you can also find our podcast wherever you find your podcasts, at Spotify, Apple, Google, Amazon, and iHeartRadio. And you could also find us at sportswireradio.org. And you can follow the station manager there, Thomas Bryce, at Thomas Bryce 2017, for all the scheduling of all the other great shows that are on there. So, Sharman, this was like one of our worst losses I think we've seen in recent memory.
Yeah. Everything was wrong. Everything went wrong. I think the most striking occurrence to me, not that in no way am I saying that our offensive line is anything, but I felt like at least they would be able to give Zach Wilson some time. Because in the last game, they passed block okay. You know?
Right.
They seemed like the average offensive line you would think they are in the Texans game. In this game, that was not average. That was criminal.
Yeah.
On the sack that Zach Wilson took when he got smushed in the head or blown up,
yeah,
whatever you want to call it, that led to the concussion protocol thing. Everybody let their man go.
Mm-hmm.
I Mekhi Becton, who had worked so hard to return, who was showing a little bit of progress earlier in the year, caved completely. He couldn't pass block Bradley Chubb for some reason, he overset on that play. He overset incredibly, like really badly. And basically all Bradley Chubb had to do was help him on his way, because he went so aggressively to his left to kind of kill Bradley Chubb's speed that Bradley Chubb, all he had to do was jump on the inside with a swim move and just kind of help him away. This is one of the reasons why when people evaluate offensive linemen, when fans evaluate offensive linemen, when they can say, this guy is huge, this guy is this guy is that, does not matter. Technique over everything. Please, because the way it's looking right now, we're going shopping for offensive linemen again, like we have done for most of our Jets lives.
Yep.
And for my sake, or for our sake, stop evaluating offensive linemen by size. Pay attention to how good they are technically. Technically sound offensive linemen in college turn into technically sound linemen in the pros. Yes, the game is different, but that's the one thing that you could take with you from college that would help you survive the pros. And we knew that Mekhi Becton was not that good of a pass blocker in the, coming into the NFL in the first place. But guess what? He'd shown flashes of playing adequately. And when you're that size, basically that's what we're asking you to be an adequate enough blocker where you'll be able to land a punch here and there, where your punch is so strong because of your size and your strength that you're able to disrupt most pass rushes, right? So he failed miserably. That's one. I spent way too much time on him because I shouldn't. I should have just acknowledged the fact that he was bad.
Well, let me ask you this. Why do you think he's kind of regressed this year instead of getting better?
I got to say coaching, because ultimately, when you look at the line and what they're suffering from, everybody keeps saying that these guys are subpar guys, and that's the main reason why they're playing like this. I have to disagree. If you don't need to be the best offensive lineman in the NFL to play good football, the fact that you're in the pros means that you're adequately equipped to play in the pros. You're going to give up a few blown plays here and there. But if you're consistently sound in your technique, you could actually block a super elite guy for at least a few plays. You will catch Aaron Donald once in a while. I've seen it. Of course, most of the time he'll dominate you. But you'll be able to once in a while get, like, stall him for a bit because your technique was sound. I've seen it. So stop with the, that's why this guy, this is coaching on hands down. They're suffering from communication issues across the board.
Right.
One of the most horrific plays, I think it was that specific play where Zach got blown up. The right tackle blocks down. There is no tight end. If you block down, who's blocking the left defensive, the left defensive end? I don't understand.
Right.
You had nobody next to you. Why are you blocking inside when there's a guy aligned in the wide nine position or in the seven position or whatever the hell the number is in off the tackle? He's lined up off you. There's nobody behind you or nobody next to you. That's your guy. That's miscommunication. That's blown play. This dude doesn't know what he has to do. And there was a multitude of them. Going through them, it's tiring. It would be tiring to go through every play I saw where that offensive line had incredible amounts of miscommunication. And it's been something that's been festering on this line for most of the season. And that, in my opinion, points directly to coaching.
And you know what?
Carter has failed at his job at being an offensive line coach this year.
Yeah.
Badly.
And
go ahead, Chris.
I was going to say, that's the part that scares me going forward, because from what it looks like, nothing's going to change this offseason. I don't think anybody's getting fired. I mean, you know the OC's not going anywhere. You know, most likely Salah's not going anywhere. Ulbrich, unless somebody hires him as a head coach, he's not going to go anywhere. The GM, he's not going anywhere, because we learned on Tuesday on the McAfee show, right? Aaron Rodgers came out and said he's not going to be 100% to be activated, so they're not going to, you know, to play. But then Salah said today during his press conference that he is going to be activated, but he's not going to play just so that he could practice with the team, which is what we basically said last week. But it bothers me that, you know, Rodgers, he's given everybody the okay. Oh, yeah, I'd love to get these guys back. And, you know, he's talking about how much he loves everybody on the team. And the one good thing out of yesterday's discussion with McAfee was that, yeah, he's definitely coming back for next year, and he looks at it as at least two more years. So that's great. But here's my problem with all this, is that if we're coming back with the same people, what do we expect to change? Right. I know.
Exactly.
Right. And not just the personnel, but not just the coaches, but we're coming back with a GM who in how many years has not been able to figure out the offensive line yet. So we're going to expect him to do it this year. You know, whether drafting or signing one or trading for one or two or three, because we need two tackles for sure. And we're going to need somebody. We need depth, obviously, because we have nothing.
Tomlinson needs to go. Tomlinson need to go.
And that
Tomlinson need to go, and we need to find two tackles.
That's all.
I don't know. Yeah, of course, that's all. Three what did I say last week? Offensive linemen are like Pokemon.
Yep.
Yeah. Basically, that's what they are. You cannot find good ones. It's hard to find good ones. It's very difficult. Even then, when you find them, you got to train them right to fit the system and have them coach, have them play well within your system. You, again, if you watch enough football close enough, I'm sorry if you're not coming, if you're not paying attention and you're seeing that there's average level offensive linemen thriving in the NFL or guys that were supposed to be average. People that everybody said, oh, this guy is going to be a backup. There's at least two of them on almost every line in the NFL. The problem is they're actually thriving. The issue is the Jets don't have any of these kind of players. Right. What we have going for us might be the fact that let's pray that we were able to get AVT back and get him injury free through a season. Oh my God.
That would be great.
Tippmann keeps growing into a good center.
Yeah, we're good there.
Right. But that's it.
That's it.
We ain't got nothing else. Nothing. There's nothing there. This is incredible. This is incredible. And what to kind of hop on what you said before, as a GM, if you self-evaluate and you can't understand with what's happened, don't give me the injury crap. Like I said, I don't want to hear it.
Right.
If you can't self-evaluate and come to the conclusion that this is not something you could do by yourself and you need someone that's a little bit better equipped, meaning pay attention. This whole Carter thing hasn't worked. Get him out of here and get somebody that's more equipped to do the job that you need. That's what's gonna, if they're actually gonna bring back the crew, in my opinion, there has to be some major moves that need to be done, because you cannot come off of this season, self-evaluate honestly, and tell me that there's not a bunch of nuts and bolts that need to be kicked off and screws that need to be replaced. You can't tell me that. The foundation of this team is guys that need other guys to make them good. That's not good. You cannot tell me that if your foundation is a running back and a wide receiver, go home. Go home. Look around the NFL. The best teams, their foundation is their offensive line.
Right.
Lions, Chiefs, even the freaking Jaguars. What? Yeah. Have you seen the Jaguars offensive line? They pick through those guys. That's what, there's like two guys you would say, oh, those guys are pretty good. Other than that, who?
Right.
But they're playing. They were able to run the ball and they were able to pass block efficiently enough for their team to win that many games.
Exactly.
So if you can't admit this to yourself and then go in and actually change what the issue is, I'm sorry. We're going to have a major problem, because I'm telling you right now, you ain't going to get me to buy a ticket from you if you haven't made any changes on this team. I'm sorry. You're not, because I'm not spending my money and go travel all the way to Jersey in all that traffic just to sit there and watch the same crap I've been watching for the last whatever amount of years. And I'm a newcomer. I'm a newcomer. 1997. Since 1997, I'm a Jets fan. What about Chris?
Early 80s. The one thing that has to change in my mind is just what you're saying, and from what we've seen all season, is, and we just got him, is that offensive line coach. He has to go. There's no way you could trust him going into next season with a totally new line again, because he's done nothing this year.
Failed spectacularly, bro.
Right.
Spectacularly, in my opinion.
And unfortunately, we know Hackett is going to stay, right, with Rodgers. There's no way he's leaving. So we're stuck with Hackett. So we need an offensive line coach that, you know, can basically rebuild this offensive line. And also, if someone gets hurt, like on every single team out there, if someone gets hurt, it's not the end of the world. I see it felt like this year, that's like our excuse. That's everybody. Well, our offensive line has been a mess because we've had all these different combinations. Okay. You know what? Cleveland's doing pretty good with two new.
Thank you.
A fourth string
Texans
quarterback right now.
Cleveland. Cleveland, Texans.
Dick Stubbs out all here.
Miami. Off the top, that's just off the top of my head.
And they're two of
the Lions. The Lions just got their center back on Sunday, no? Wasn't Ragnar out for how many games?
Yes. Yep. Yep.
Come on, man. What are you talking about?
Yeah, it sucks. It's horrible that these guys are hurt, and it's horrible. It stinks that we got 11 different combinations or whatever it is this season. Yeah, it's bad. But you know what? It's not the end of the world. Okay, we got a different offensive line. Okay. And
hey, Chris. Hey, Chris. Part of the combinations is that they had guys that they have on the roster that they evaluated, that they gave a start one game, and like probably three plays into the start, they go, oh, crap, this guy doesn't belong here. And then take him off the game, take him off the field, and start some other guy. So your evaluation process for offensive line is trash.
Right.
Completely trash. Because you couldn't get one guy to be able to stay on that line. Not one guy to stay on that line and play well. None. Whatsoever. So I'm sorry. I'm not with it. I'm not with that whole thing. And I don't care if Aaron Rodgers is coming back or not. I'm telling you right now, Chris, they will not get my money
if they do
not do something about changing that offensive line and that offensive line coach. I'm sorry. Because you got to prove to me that you know what the hell you're doing. Because what you've proved to me is you don't know. You don't.
And it bothers me because Joe Douglas and this team, you know, Salah and Ulbrich, have built a defense, one of the best in the whole league.
Crazy.
And get the offense. Like, and think about when he was hired, what was the big thing when he was hired? Oh, he knows how to build an offensive line because he came from Philly. He came from Baltimore. And they both, you know, won championships when he was there. And he knows how to build a championship team from the inside.
Apparently, that stuff doesn't just work through osmosis.
No, I think you got to actually.
Yeah.
You got to actually draft well, and you got to sign guys well. You know, you can't swing and miss. And here's the other, you can't swing and miss on first round picks. You can't. Especially when they're important guys like a quarterback and an offensive tackle.
Yep.
You can't swing and miss on those guys. You got to – listen, he
– Of the offensive linemen that was picked after Mekhi Becton.
No.
Especially the one we know, who's basically an all-pro, no? What's his name?
Oh.
He went, what, one or two picks before after the Jets? Oh, shit. Now I got to go and check.
Let's check.
What was the year again?
It was, this is his fourth year.
Is it his fourth year?
Yeah, because he's a free agent after this year. All right, Mekhi Becton, after him, tackle, Tristan Wirfs.
There you go. Thank you. I'm done. You don't have to even go that far again. Everybody knows who that is.
Right.
Yep. You don't have to say it again.
No.
Yep. And isn't that a direct indictment on your process?
Definitely.
That kid went over there and he did not hesitate at all. His first start, everybody was like, oh wait, hold up, wait, what? Oh, we got one here.
Yeah.
We got one here. And he has not looked back, other than the fact that he was injured and nicked, what is it, earlier this year? Was he's out, right? He's, I think he's out.
Okay, here's all right. He's been hurt in his career, right? He's missed some games. He's
Right.
played 60 games in his career.
Yes.
Mekhi Becton has played 28. So yeah, Becton has missed a lot of games, but and Wirfs has missed some games, but it's nowhere near what Becton has.
But this is what I'm saying. And not only hasn't he missed the same amount, not anywhere close to the same amount of games, he's outperforming him by a mile.
Yeah.
This is an all-pro freaking tackle.
Yep.
And we missed him because we took the bigger dude.
He's a two-time pro bowler, one-time all-pro. And he's won a Super Bowl.
Your process sucks.
And that's the thing. We're
evaluate your process.
That's the crazy thing. We got to now. We're expecting him to be this offensive guru this offseason, meaning Joe Douglas, and he's going to figure this all out.
Well,
you
Chris,
know, that's what scares
if you. If you know, Chris, if you could admit to yourself that you suck at something, what will you do? You go out and get somebody that could do it.
Yeah,
that's what I'm asking. You've had multiple shots at it and you suck at it. Go find someone to help you. The Jets should be hiring some of what's his name, man? Former Dallas Cowboys. I think he coached with us a couple of years too. Renowned offensive line coach.
Oh.
Consultant.
Right.
Get him as a consultant.
Right.
Get one of, you understand what I'm saying? You know, because your process sucks. This is not being unlucky. No, that's being unprepared because you keep picking the wrong guy. And you're not only doing it in the first round, you're doing it in the second round, you're doing it in the third round, you're doing it in the fourth round. Bro, what are we talking about here? So that to me, this is the conversation that needs to be had. That's why I refuse today to speak about Zach Wilson. This was not about Zach Wilson, and this has never been about Zach Wilson. Because I've been saying the same story over and over again, and nobody wants to listen.
Yeah,
everybody in New York, in Utah, and everybody around the world that know anything about Jets football will tell you that we know exactly who Zach Wilson is. So if we all know who Zach Wilson is, then that means we should know that he cannot carry a team. That's above his responsibility or above his pay grade because he just can't do it.
Yeah.
That's just not what he can't do. So we start with that. That's what we got. We got a guy that we need to help carry. When you have a guy that you need to help carry, guess what you do? You load your freaking offensive team with people that help carry teams. Wide receivers that make big plays and that could separate and get open. Tight ends that could be multiple area destruction guys. Guys that could block really well, and guys that could find to separate. I know they're hard to find, but guess what? Actually, I'm not even mad because our tight end is not that bad. I'm not even going to take a shot there, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then you have the running back. All you had to do was do the offensive line. Because I promise you, more often than not, if this team was built, let's say Zach Wilson was playing on the Steelers with the kind of wide receivers the Steelers have, you think Zach Wilson would have won more games? Even if I'm saying, and the crazy thing is, the offensive line of the Steelers is not that good.
Right.
The offensive line is not that good, but it's better than ours. That's the scariest thing about it.
Ours, when you think about it. Ours just, it's embarrassing.
Especially because Zach Wilson on that roster would thrive. He would, I'm not saying the dude would be a world beater, but we wouldn't be sitting here at 5 wins. And looking and losing to Miami the way he just lost. Like, everybody doesn't know what their assignments are. Everybody's lost. Miscommunication. from the beginning of the game. It's almost like those guys weren't prepared. And we keep saying the same, repeating the same thing. Every season, there's a few games in the season where the Jets come in and they're not prepared to play. And that's right at the feet of Salah.
And this, for the first week, I think it looked like the defense also. It wasn't just the offense this week. It was the defense. Defense looked awful.
And there's parts of the defense that's still bad.
Yeah.
And they need to get Whitehead out of here. I said it.
And they
he had four interceptions. Really? That's how you evaluate the safety?
Well, he had three in the first game, so. Right? That was when Josh Allen was saying, here you go.
Yeah.
Take this. So
bad angles.
Yeah.
Like not being where he's supposed to be over and over again. Missed tackles. Incredible amount of missed tackles. And I think, I'm pretty sure if in his rankings in the safety, this dude is like on the bottom of the barrel.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a starter. In around the NFL, he's a bottom of the barrel safety. What? Come on, bro. You know, so in all, it's 13 years now. No amount of sweet talking, no amount of fanfare, and no amount of trying to catch our eyes with uniform changes or whatever the hell crap you're going to come up with is going to get us to bite this time.
Right.
You got to bring the goods. As Jets fans, we will only accept the goods. Nothing else. And it starts with what we perceive as the weak link in the chain. Your coaching. Primarily your offensive line coach. He has not shown that he's capable of doing this job properly. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's got to change. It just has to be. It just has to change. There's no way that guy could come back next year. There's no, you know, like Salah or Joe Douglas can't come, you know, on a press conference and say, no, you know, we believe in this guy. How can you believe in him when he's been horrible? Like horrible, not halfway good, horrible. Absolutely horrible. The guy has to go. It's simple. It is simple and plain. You got to be blind not to see it because the weak link, like we keep saying, has always been the offensive line. And I get it. We're injured. I hate that excuse because every team deals with some kind of injury. And when someone gets hurt, it's not like, we're done. Like Cleveland.
I got to reach out. Yeah.
Browns are the best example because they lost Nick Chubb. He's their most important player on offense, more important than their quarterback. And they lost him early. Done for the year. Remember that really bad knee?
But guess what, though, Chris? We all know this, Chris. I'm sorry I didn't to cut you off, but I got to bring this home easy. Even if they lost Nick Chubb, the two running backs they have behind Nick Chubb are incredibly talented.
Right, they're good.
Plus,
they're not Nick Chubb, but they're good. They can handle themselves.
But Chris, the icing on the cake is that offensive line is all pro level.
There you go. Right.
And in the midst of injury, they have adequate backup.
Right. That's the key.
Exactly. You cannot even compare that team's offensive line with what we have here. Not even close. These guys, assignment miss, you don't see that in Cleveland that much. This is crazy. I'm talking about the Browns and the Jets, and I'm saying, what am I saying? What is happening? This team is alive. The Browns are alive with a backup to a backup to a backup quarterback.
Right. To a guy we had. They're down to a guy that we threw away, just to show you how bad Flacco was. We got rid of him.
Yeah. The final thing I'm going to say on this is this. The Jimmys and the Joes matter at the end of the day. Because one man will never change the face of this franchise. You have to build a roster similar to something like what the Bengals did. Because this is an offensive league. And for you to fail so spectacularly at being at playing offense in an era where everything leans offense, everything, that is an indictment on you as an organization, completely, everybody. I don't care. If you're telling me as a coach, you have a mentality that's conservative in 2023, you need to be fired. You need to be fired. Every last coach in the NFL understands points is king. It's not the same as the early 1990s or the 80s where defensive football was king. It's not. You have to be able to put points up. And the main focus or reason why teams are doing this is because they have multiple weapons and great offensive line. I won't even say great. Adequate offensive line play.
Yep.
All their play calling is basically tailored to the fact that maybe their line is not that good. Come on, man. Run coordination, offensive line coaching. Coaching on the whole. Salah, this is it for you, my man. In my opinion, I haven't called for your job, but if you cannot do something next year to prove that you belong being the New York Jets coach, you need to go. I know people that are saying you need to go now. I'm not even jumping that gun right now. I'm going to shut up. I'm going to sit here. I'm going to watch y'all. Because I said what I said.
And you know what bothers me is that after the game, they were interviewing some of the players, obviously, after the game. And Lazard, you say what we want, but he has a veteran receiver. What did he say? He goes, I felt we were out-schemed and out-efforted. So out-hustled.
Ridiculous.
For a player to say ridiculous. That. That's bad. That's all.
Oh, coaching. Yeah.
That's all coaching. All yep. coaching. For a coach yep. to be out schemed and for your players to be out hustled, that's on you. That's Chris, on the coach.
Chris, I'll tell you how they were out schemed.
Well,
they left playing the Texans and brought the same game plan to play the Miami Dolphins. I don't even know what to say.
Right. That's the...
early in the game, they basically was doing the same thing. Zach on the center, because that was basically what in the film study, I would say, that was what looked like right at the ship for Zach. All that play action. But you're playing a different team with different, they play a different type of football on defense. They're incredibly aggressive. You cannot, you're not going to do the same thing you did to them, to the Texans. So guess what? You got to change. I mean, come on. What am I talking about here? I don't know anything about football. I can't be pointing this out to a guy that's a professional that's getting paid. What?
You can't even compare the two teams offensively, the Texans and Miami. I mean, that's, think about what those teams are. Even defensively, they're totally different.
But Chris, I understand that. But if you're gonna go play Miami's defense, I'm talking just Miami's defense.
Right.
There's a reason why Miami's defense leads the league in quarterback hits. Because of the way they play defense. So you cannot bring the same game plan that you had last week against the Texans, basically, to Miami. You can't, because that's they feed on that. And then if I have to say it out loud, I guess I have to. If you put that on film the week before, that's the film they were watching all week.
Right.
As soon as you snap the ball, everything you do, your mannerisms, the way a guy steps, they've seen it a million times. Oh, wait, that looks exactly like what they did last week. So they weren't even hesitating. The moment the ball was snapped, it's almost like they knew what blocking scheme was coming. And everybody was basically splitting their man and in the backfield. There's a viral photo of three defensive linemen right on top of Zach Wilson, with all the offensive linemen looking at them like they just Olay'd them. So I don't know. That's it for me. I can't talk more Jets football. I'm sorry, guys. That's it. It's incredibly frustrating. It's horribly frustrating.
And it's going to be the game of the week. They're playing, got the Washington Commanders coming in. So
game of the week,
That should be a low-scoring, awful game. But if you're going to watch it, good luck. I don't know if I'm going to watch it or not, but
red zone, here I come.
Yeah, exactly. This is this is what the red zone was made for.
Oh, yeah.
Like that. But, yeah, we're going to get a lot of other good games. We're going to get into that. But let's get into some of the big games that we did watch this weekend that kind of caught our eye. Let's start off with the Battle of the Bays, Tampa Bay at Green Bay. We were talking about it before we came on. Like, Green Bay was starting to play better. Jordan Love looked like, oh, maybe he's the real, you know, maybe he's turning into that franchise quarterback, but he's starting to regress again. And we have to start giving credit to Baker Mayfield. He's having a
pretty after this week? Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You don't have a choice, right? Wasn't he like he had a perfect QBR or something like that?
Yeah, 381 yards, 4 touchdowns, no picks.
Hey, listen, people make fun of Baker Mayfield, but guess what? He was a overall first pick. He was.
Yep.
So that means he's talented. The man is talented. Given the right situation, he's talented enough. And guess what? What does the Bucs have on offense?
Offensive line.
Great offensive line and a plethora of weapons.
Yep.
There you go. That's it.
Another guy that's having a really good season that nobody's talking about is Rashad White, their running back.
Yes. Thank you.
Very good season.
Yep.
Right now, I'll look up his stats. Right now, he's got 834 rushing yards, and he's got 469 receiving yards, and he's got 8 touchdowns combined.
Yeah, there you go. Hey, I'm telling you, who's their head coach again?
Former Jet.
Hey, the one thing you know he's going to do is try to play defense and run the ball. And his defense is not as good as it's been in years, but he's going to run the ball. And the fact that they have the dedication and the attitude of running the ball creates the sense of urgency for teams to stop the run. And for a second, you forget of the wide receivers they have on the outside. And you don't want those guys one-on-one on your corners at all. I don't care which corner you have. None. Because one of those wide receivers is basically a Hall of Famer. At this point, at the way he's going.
Oh, yeah. He's running right to Canton, that guy, Evans.
Yeah. Yeah. Mike Evans has been unstoppable in the NFL. There's corners. Think about it. For almost all his career, the Saints corner, Williams, who's in my opinion, he's been one of the best corners in the NFL for the longest. He's had some of the greatest battles that you could ever think of between a wide receiver and a corner against this guy, right? He's probably the only one that's ever held him to like, you know, under 50 points receiving or whatever, or 50 yards receiving in a game.
Yep.
But guess what? He cooked him sometimes, man. He cooked the crap out of him sometimes. And I think the competition that he had with some of the corners that he played over his career made him even more special. You know, he's something else, man. If this guy gets away from the Bucs, which I don't think he is, because there's like a bunch of Jets fans wishing that this guy leaves, I'm telling you all right now, he's not leaving.
Well, Mike Evans is a free agent after this season.
They're paying him. They're keeping that guy. I do not see him going anywhere.
I hope, if the Jets do anything at wide receiver, he would be a great combo with Garrett Wilson, obviously. And I think that's the better get than trading for Devontae Adams, because if you trade for Davante Adams, because everybody thinks that's a foregone conclusion because his connection with Rodgers and all that.
That's crazy. So,
but yeah, I mean, think about what we're going to have to give up to get Davante Adams. That's my problem. Mike Evans, you just got to sign the guy.
That's it. Yep.
It's just money. So
yeah. And to me, the incredible amount of consistency that you have at a player like that is the perfect team or the perfect comrade for a Garrett Wilson. Garrett Wilson is still learning.
That kind of
presence would help him.
Yep. And Mike Evans, every season of his career, of his 10-year career, he's gone over 1,000 yards.
Yeah.
Only receiver to do that. So talk about consistent. That's the man right there. That's somebody we definitely need, desperately need, I should say.
And the whole time we were having this conversation, Evans wasn't the guy that was leading in receiving yards or receptions.
Right.
It was Godwin.
Yeah.
This is what I'm talking about. When I say what I said, roster means a lot. The Jimmys and the Joes is everything in football.
Yep.
It's not just the quarterback. You could get a quarterback. Where is the people that's going to help him thrive? Look at what the Texans did.
Yep.
We're going to talk about it later, but they're winning without their guy. Why? Because the roster is built well.
Mm-hmm. And coached well, which is more important.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Which is incredible. Yeah. That's it.
And it leaves Tampa right now in first place in the South and Green Bay at 6-8. And they're on the outside looking in for a wild card. So that could have been their
that could have been it for them. Yeah. What are their remaining games?
Green Bay. Let's see real quick. Green Bay's final three games are at Carolina, at Minnesota, and then home against Chicago their last week.
Hey, I'm telling you right now, they're in danger of losing two out of the three.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, because look, if you haven't been looking closely, the Bears are not the same team they started the season at.
Oh no, definitely. They're playing much, and Carolina won a game last week, so you never know. If they're going into that Carolina game thinking, oh good, we got this game, we'll write the ship.
Oh no. No, sir.
Lose, right?
Yeah. So, I mean, kudos to the Bucks. I mean, I want to see how far they get, man, especially in a NFC where it's there for their taking, man.
Yep.
It's there for their taking, for them to make a run. So I know how far they could get, because we know the monsters that are waiting the top, but they could make a little run.
Definitely. Another game, you just spoke about the Texans and the Titans. Texans end up winning it 19-16. Case Keenum was starting because C.J. Stroud still in concussion protocol, did not start, did not play. And once again, the Texans do just enough, and they're just winning these games. And again, like we said, even with the injuries, they're missing their starting quarterback. They're missing their top two wide receivers.
Mm-hmm.
And they still get it done. Because why? Not just good coaching, but we'll go back to they ran the ball well, right? Devin Singletary.
A guy I've been singing his praises for all season. I've been saying how good this guy is playing.
Yes. Carries 121 yards.
Yep.
So they end up.
Yeah, he's helping carry that team. And you could tell coaching has a lot to do. Guys are where they're supposed to be every time. They're making the plays because fundamentally they're playing so soundly. You know, Case Keenum comes in and that he made the drives that he needed to make. Yeah, he threw an interception, whatever. But when it came down to it, he did what he had to do.
Yep, he tied the game late.
Yeah.
In the fourth. I mean, and looking at the playoffs for those teams, you know, now you're talking about.
I think that the Titans are limited, no?
Yeah, I think they are, yeah. Titans are eliminated now, but Houston is right there for the wild card. They're tied with Indy and Cincinnati. Cincinnati and Indianapolis have the number 2 and 3 wild card. Houston is tied with them, but they're outside of the wild card spot. So they own the tiebreakers, Indy and Cincinnati. So, and then looking at what Houston has the rest of the way, their last three games, they have tough game this week against Cleveland. Then they play Tennessee again, and then they go to Indianapolis. So if they want to get in the playoffs, it's all on them. They got the teams they got to beat right in front of them, two out of three. So,
yeah, man, it's an impressive first year for the Titans head coach.
I think he should get coach of the year. That's my
The way he's doing it, man, it's different. I really like it. And then they went up against a pretty well coached team too. Yeah, that's the thing. So I love to see what he's doing over there. I love the fact that they're setting the tone with their running game, and the guys outside are playing well, man. You're talking about, you know, all of a sudden now you're down to having Noah, what's his name, as the wide receiver, Noah Brown. Noah Brown is your leading receiver. You know what I mean? And he had 82 yards on a TD.
And what we say, you know, we start talking about injuries. It's not the end of the world if a guy gets hurt.
You should have guys that could step up and take the mantle.
Football, you know, and you know this too.
It's a team sport.
Football is not basketball. Basketball,
yes, if
the star goes down, yeah, you could say that, you know what, not that the season's over, but it's not looking good. In football, it's a team sport, man. Next man up. I don't care who it is. Next man up in football. Baseball, same thing. Hockey, same thing. Basketball is the only one where if your star goes down, yeah, that's a huge hit. For other sports, it's a hit. Don't get me wrong, and it's huge. But it's not the end of the world.
You should be able to survive.
Yeah, you can't just fold up your tent and go home. Especially this
week. I love the way you put that. Yeah, that's one of my favorite sayings. Yeah.
That's kind of what the Jets did this week. They kind of folded it up and went home before the game was over.
Yeah, they did. Yes, sir. Pretty early in the game, too.
Yeah. Sad to see. Mm-hmm. Anyway, another game, big game, too. Talking about playoffs. Minnesota at Cincinnati. Cincinnati ends up beating them. I think that went into overtime as well.
Yes.
They win it 27-24. Injuries again, right? Minnesota's down to their third quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
Cincinnati down to their backup quarterback. Undrafted guy, you know, out of nowhere, Jake Browning. He's doing a pretty good job. I know he's got the weapons, but – and Jamar Chase, by the way, is going to be out.
He's going to be out, separated shoulder. Yeah, he went on IR, so he'll probably be out for four games at least. If they don't make it to the playoffs, he won't be able to play until the playoffs.
Right.
If they make it.
Again, injuries happen.
Yeah.
They're not ending the season. You know what I mean? These teams are still fighting. They're still figuring. That's the thing. They figure out a way. Okay, this is who we got playing now. Okay, let's figure
this out. How many different quarterbacks have played for the Vikings this year after Cousins went down and looked pretty good?
Right. They
Mullins comes in, he throws 303 yards, two touchdowns.
Right.
Yeah, he had two picks, but come on, man.
Yep.
Because the roster is helping. Ty Chandler, 132 yards I'm rushing. Basically, the roster, guys are stepping up. Addison, 111 yards receiving. Jefferson on his back, 84. Yeah, he's back. Hawkinson has been balling all season. You know, they have guys that are stepping up and taking it seriously. That, hey, man, we need to, like you said, next man up. We got to make the plays. And they're doing that. And they're aiding their backup quarterback into realizing levels of play that he probably didn't know that he could. Probably he does, because, you know, these guys, to play in the NFL, you got to be incredibly competitive. You know what I mean? Yeah. So you could throw the ball, But you're asking everybody to execute, and that's what's happening. If you watch that game, there was a high level of execution a lot in a lot of plays. Yes, they were messed up. Yes, Mullins threw two interceptions. But the thing is, when they needed it most, they executed their plays. So, listen, the Bengals, in my opinion, we know what they have on defense. We know the kind of weapons they have surrounding this team. And Brown has basically kind of captured the city at this moment. I think when he walked into the stadium, there was like a huge roar. So, you know, hey, man, all power to them. Because, again, like I said, you know the weapons they have. And even when Chase goes down, the two other guys on that team, the two other wide receivers on that team, are incredibly difficult to.
Oh, yeah.
T. Higgins and Tyler Boyd are ones and twos.
Yep.
So this is what we're doing. When you build a roster, keep in mind that roster needs to carry the quarterback sometimes. They have to be able to do that. You cannot, it's impossible to have these quarterbacks that carry teams. There's only a handful, there's not even a handful in the NFL. There's less than a handful of guys that could do that. So build rosters in mind, keeping in mind that you need to be, the roster needs to be able to carry your guy.
And it's not always about finding that one wide receiver or that one.
No.
Or that
no.
one tackle. You got to keep.
You adding, need. You yep.
Need at football, we see it every year. Guys go down. It's yes. A physical sport. Guys are going to get hurt. May not be an all season, you know, unfortunately, like with Rodgers or with AVT, but guys miss games. It's, you know, especially now, you got a 17-game season. It's not a 16-game season anymore. It's a 17-game. So it's a marathon. And, you know, it's only 17 games, but it is a marathon for these guys. So you need really good depth in the NFL. You do. So, but, and looking at that situation with the playoffs, Cincinnati, like I said, they're right now the number two wild card in the playoffs. And Minnesota is still there for the playoffs. They are right now, they're also the number two seed, but they're tied with one, two, three other teams at 7-7. So they're extremely tight. Nobody thought that they'd still be in this playoff race after Kirk Cousins went down.
Yeah.
And also Justin Jefferson, they lost a couple of weeks ago. He finally came back. So that's going to be something to see, you know, something to watch here the rest of the way. Let me see real quick while we're talking. Minnesota's last three games, they got Minnesota has Detroit this week at home. Then they play Green Bay at home, and then they go to Detroit for that final week.
That's tough.
Yeah, Detroit. Two That's tough. Teams, and Detroit's playing their best ball right now. So
there is one player I just want to mention. It's the linebacker for the Vikings, Ivan Pace Jr. I don't know if you remember this, but, you know, in my brief analysis on or evaluation of this kid, I said he's too small. I accept my apology, man. You're the real deal, bro. You're the real deal. That dude is something else, man. Oh, my goodness. You gotta watch that dude play. He's crazy. He's everywhere. And he arrives there, like, at the drop of a hat. Like, instantly, he's there. So, yeah.
And Minnesota has Flores as their DC, so
yep. You know. Innovation galore.
Yeah.
Come up with all kinds of schemes. Yep.
If you got talent, he'll figure it out, you know.
Yes, sir.
Spot. So, so that's a big game. Also, probably the game of the week, or at least coming into it, Dallas at Buffalo. Buffalo, hottest team, Dallas as well. Both teams playing great, but all Buffalo at home, 31-10. Dallas lays probably one of their worst games they've played all year. We've been hearing MVP chants about Dak Prescott. He had probably his worst game of the season. What are your thoughts with Buffalo? Like, Dallas, we know. I think we know, or at least we have a feeling what they're going to do. But Buffalo, I have a different feeling about them now.
And you're right. You should. Because they did something that we've been begging them to do for the longest. I mean, almost every conversation I've had about the Buffalo Bills for the last couple of years, it sounds the same way. This team should be able to run you out of the gym. They should be able to run you out of a stadium. Yes, their quarterback could sever your carotid artery in like a second, and you're, you know, 28-0, and you're like, oh, I guess I'm done, and go home. Like Chris said, you know, fold your tent and leave. But if you, that team that plays in that kind of weather, and you're only depending on a quarterback to make splash plays to beat your opponent, you're failing. You need to be able to be that team like you just did to the Dallas Cowboys. Possess the hell out of the football. They had the ball 10 more minutes longer, I think. Yeah. Then Dallas had it. Their drives were averaging over 5 yards per. Almost every drive they had where they scored, they were possessing the ball for 12 possessions, 12 plays, 11 plays, 10 plays, 8 plays. That is complete domination. That's what they're supposed to be able to do. Because when they could do that, Chris, the feeling you have is everything. It's correct, 100% correct. Because if you think that they could bludgeon you the way they just did to Dallas, you're coming packed, stacked, and ready to mingle. And then they could slice you up over your because they have the wide receivers and the quarterback with the arm to beat you that way. That, to me, that's the final nail. That's it. But they need to be able to do it for more than one game, though.
Right.
That's the thing.
Let me ask you this. How many times have we ever said Josh Allen was the third the third leading rusher on the team that game?
Yeah. Not a lot.
I can't remember. Yeah.
I don't think we ever said that. Today, the truth, I don't think we ever said that. Right? One time. Third. Yeah.
Ty Johnson had more yards than him and more carries.
Crazy. Yeah.
And Josh Allen threw the ball 15 times.
15 times, yeah. Yeah. And he only rushed the ball 8 times, right? Something like that, right?
Yeah. 8 carries for 24 yards. But here's the thing, too. Like, Buffalo, you don't realize you got James Cook, very talented. Then you got Ty Johnson. We know him.
We know him.
Good
compliment. Very talented, too.
Right? Yeah. And then they also got the veteran, Murray. Latavius Murray on that team.
Yep. Yeah,
so they got the horses. Carry the ball.
Yeah, pound the hell out of the rock.
And Dallas once again.
Yeah,
right. Loses this big game, especially on the road, and this is going to be their problem in the playoffs. They might.
They're 3-4. They're 3-4 on the road. Whilst at home they're 7-0.
And they're going to have to go on the road.
Yes,
you're going to have to beat San Fran on the road. Good luck.
Yeah. Not when you're not playing, and it's so bad. It's night and day. When that team is night and day, they're outscoring opponents by ridiculous sums at home, and they're being outscored on the road. How are you, Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde? What is going on here? Who are you? Are you an offensive juggernaut, or are you a defensive juggernaut? Because they've shown both.
Yeah,
but it's not consistent enough. And not that it's not consistent enough, it's not happening on the road. It's not. Not to the level that they need to be able to beat the monsters that they need to beat in the NFC.
Yep.
Nope. So, man, it looks the same for me. And Dallas did this without Epenesa and Hyde. I mean, the Bills. Yeah. Right. There you go.
And then Monday night, we'll finish this one off. The Monday night game, Philadelphia, Seattle. Seattle wins it 20-17 on a last minute touchdown. I've seen a couple of things that were really bad with Philadelphia, and it starts with the quarterback. Forget about the play calling. I know the play calling was awful again, but I think more the decision making on Jalen Hurts is what's hurting his team, because the two long passes he threw that were picked off, like, they were not, you didn't have to go deep on those plays, and they weren't even open. You know what I mean? So either throw the ball away or dump it off, something. You don't have to go. And I listen, I know he was sick. He flew by himself on a plane. He didn't want to get the rest of the team sick. So he was sick. He had the flu, whatever he had. So I'm not killing him for that game, but this has been kind of reoccurring now. You know, I don't understand on that last drive. I don't know if you caught it. On the last drive, they had like 30 seconds left, and he's throwing a bomb when he's only 15 yards away from setting up for a game.
Just kicking a field goal. Yes.
I don't understand it. It made no sense.
Bad decision. Yeah, bad decision making, bad football in a lot of ways. There were checkdowns that were missed. Like you said, on that interception he threw, I think Smith was running wide open on a kind of an over route.
Yeah.
It's pretty concerning, man. Because he's the guy that he's the head of the spear in my, you know, or the tip of the spear.
Definitely.
In Philadelphia. And he goes as they go. It's not the defense, because this is not 2022's defense. No. We have to come to that conclusion. They're not even close. They're not hitting or sacking the quarterback as much as they did last year. And the back end of that defense is putrid.
Oh, let me tell you something. Bradbury is toast. He's done. That guy is...
Chris, the more concerning thing is your coaches see you being toasted, right? And they call single high coverage with you playing bump and run after you just got beat by Metcalf, and then you get beat by a rookie.
Yeah,
I'm sorry, bro. As much as you're right that he hasn't played well all season. If I'm gathering this right, according to what I heard, it was Mr. Science himself with the pencil behind his ear is the one that called the defense.
Yep.
From New England.
Patricia.
Yeah. You were not in New England.
No.
This team is not equipped to play single high defense. If anything, you should have dropped everybody down.
Hey, yeah.
Chris. I didn't understand that sequence at all. I really didn't.
And I get there's no Slay. Slay's out. So
does not matter.
Right. They didn't go in.
Understand the guys you have and call the defense that's applicable to their talents. Basically, the guy is suffering. Oh yeah. That's what he does well. Might be in the past that he was a good coverage guy, which, again, he's one of those boom or bust guys. He has had more. He's basically, if you put his career together, in my opinion, he's one of those guys that has been, there's so much boom that people only remember the boom, but they forget with the boom, there was a lot of bust. It's almost like he would split it even. He would have four. He would have, what do you say? How many games it is a season? 15? How many games is this? 17?
Yep.
Basically, he would have half and half. He would have half a season, half of games where he'd be incredible, and the other half he would look like trash.
Mm-hmm.
That's basically who he's been. You know? So
all trash.
And now he's...
I
hate saying that about the guys, but come on, man. It's horrible. And he did not play well, and they didn't protect him at all. Coaches didn't.
I thought he was older. He's only like 30 years old. It's not like he's 35. Like, Slay's a couple of years older. So he would be...
Corners.
You know?
Corners don't do well around that age, bro.
Oh, I know.
They really don't. You get to that point of your career, man. You ain't... Yeah. Especially if you've played as much football as they have. After a while. It's a young man's game, man. Playing on an island out there, we know that's probably the most difficult position in the NFL. Arguably, anyway. People could say it's center or left tackle, whatever, but playing out on an island against another man that knows where he's going and you don't know where he's going is in my opinion, is probably one of the hardest positions to play in sports.
Yeah, I would not be shocked if they do something with him this offseason. Either trade him or cut him or something, because he's just, unless he's hurt, he's playing, I don't know. But right now he looks awful. So that was week 15. Some big games. And even in the play heading in, the Eagles are still tied with Dallas for the division. And if the Eagles win out their last three games, which they got the Giants, the Cardinals, and then the Giants again, if they win all three games, they still win the division and force Dallas to go on the road in the first round.
Mm-hmm.
So
crazy.
That's big. I don't trust Philly now. It looks like an easy three games. They should win those next three with ease. But I don't know. I could see the Giants upsetting them in that final week. Arizona, I don't know if I could. Yeah, I guess I could see Arizona beating them.
Arizona is playing good football now.
Yeah.
Arizona has been playing good football. Arizona, remember, one of the losses that Dallas has is from Arizona.
Yep.
Yeah. They're not. I can't remember what game it was. I remember texting you, watching them, and I texted you. I was like, is this the team we thought that was only going to win two games for the season?
From the
From
week one, it seemed like they were playing in every game. So
yes.
All right, so let's get to week 16 games. One of the games, and it's big playoff, possible preview too. Cincinnati's traveling to Pittsburgh. Cincinnati, we talked 8-6, Pittsburgh 7-7, but such a different game, different teams we're talking about here. Pittsburgh is awful lately.
One is going one way and the other one is going the other way.
Oh, yeah. Pittsburgh's offense is just
terrible.
Oh, my God.
Yep.
They may not be as bad as us, but they're pretty bad on offense. I don't know if you can get worse than us, but they're right there.
Yeah, they're in the basement. They're on their offense, and they're not even playing defense on the level that they normally used to. I think I saw Fitzpatrick playing with one of those casts on his hand, and then he got injured again. So I don't even know if he's going to be available because he hasn't been 100%. The guys standing in his playing in his teeth they haven't performed on the level that they need to. You only got TJ Watt, man. I mean, Highsmith is a good player. But if they don't have coverage, and Watt is not doing some crazy stuff, they don't have anything else, man, on defense. And presently the 20th ranked defense in the NFL.
And dropping.
Exactly. And they can't throw the ball consistently. Their quarterback's not playing good NFL football at all. And just bad football. And we try to blame Canada, which, hey, listen, I'm not here to defend this guy because I know for sure he played a massive role in the reason why that offense was struggling. But quarterbacking is just not there. They're able to run the ball in spurts, but I think they need more big plays than they. And the unfortunate thing is that some of their wide receivers are quitting on them. Namely, what's his name, that kid?
George Pickens.
Pickens. Every week, there's a video of him not blocking, not paying attention. Oh, so you're losing, so now you don't care, right? You forget the NFL team's watch tape?
I would not suit that guy up again because what he said this week, he said the reason why I didn't want to block the guy because I don't want to get hurt.
We're paying you millions of dollars to
you could say Pittsburgh season's on the line this week.
I would agree.
After this they finish on the road at Seattle, then at Baltimore. So good luck Pittsburgh in these last two games. Another big game with playoff implications. You got Detroit coming in hot at 10-4 going to Minnesota, who is at 7-7.
I'm still on the fence about Detroit. because when they put up all these points and when that offense is running, the whole team looks so good because there's a lot of complementary football being played. The problem is if that offense is struggling, not the by the slightest, I don't think that defense is equipped to help. That's the problem here. That's what I'm worried about. And the thing about the Vikings is they're a pretty difficult team to play. They will give you everything they have. And if you're not ready that game to take their best shot and, you know, throw a couple back, you just might end up losing that game to them. So I think that's an interesting matchup, man. I want to see where that heads.
Yeah, no, me too, because this is a big challenge, I think, for Detroit. They're coming in hot. Let's see if that defense could keep it up. You know, if their defense could stay hot the rest of the season, because we know the offense, you know they're going to score points. It's the defense that definitely worries me about Detroit. So going into the playoffs, yes, if they could stay at this level, yeah, then I still don't think they could beat San Fran, but at least they'll give them a little bit of a run, you know?
Yes, agreed.
Another big one, Cleveland. Listen, a month ago, 2 months ago, did we think Cleveland at Houston would be a big game here in week 16? I don't think so, but Cleveland 9-5, Texans 8-6. Like I said earlier, Cleveland is the number one seed right now, the wild card, and Houston is on the outside looking in for a playoff. So it is a big game for both teams.
And two feisty ass teams, man. They play good football. They'll keep coming at you, both on defense and offense. That's crazy. I'm saying that about the Browns because of the amount of guys they've lost on offense and the fact that they're still playing so hard. It's crazy. Their quarterback will throw you the ball a couple times a game, but he's also shown that he's able to throw a few interceptions to a few touchdowns to his guys also. So. So yeah, you saw he threw a couple pick sixes or something. So hey man, listen, with the as talented as they are on defense, you give them a shot, in my opinion, and they could hang around and they could run the ball really well. The thing is, the Texans are as tough as they come, man. So they're not gonna go away easily. Again, another game, in my opinion, that would be pretty entertaining.
And their last three games are starting with this week at Houston, and then they go back home and they play the Jets next week, and then they finish off at Cincinnati. So this is a must-win. Yeah, this is a must-win for both teams. And looking at the Texans' final three, Cleveland this week at home, Tennessee at home next week, and then they go to Indianapolis the final week. So that game might be for the playoffs.
It might be. It smells like it.
There's a lot of games, man. That final week, it looks like, that's matching up that are going to be playoff games. So I wonder what game is going to be flexed to that Sunday night spot, which is going to be pretty interesting. But that's a big game, man, Cleveland-Houston. And then another big game, this is the battle of the good teams that can't beat good teams. Dallas at Miami.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm trying to figure this one out because Miami can't beat a good team. Dallas can't beat a good team, or they can't play good on the road. So who shows up here? Like, what do you think? Miami's going to blow them away like Buffalo did, or you think a closer game?
Well, the Cowboys are on the road again.
Yeah.
Yeah. And to me, this is their opportunity to erase the chalkboard and start from scratch, you know? Because if they could beat Miami, and I think they have the weapons to do it. I think they have both on defense and offense. I think they could do it. I think the way Miami plays on offense kind of plays into the hands of what the Dallas Cowboys do. The Dallas Cowboys was taken advantage of by the Bills for one reason. One of the reasons is because their defensive line is pretty small compared to what are we talking about, the average size of the Bills' offensive line. So it was like they leaned on them, right? Miami does the opposite. They on offense, Miami is all about stretching you out and making you run, right? But that's what the Dallas Cowboys do well. They have so much defensive speed that, in my opinion, they couldn't match what the Dolphins do. I'm not saying that they run as fast as them. I'm just saying that the kind of football they play on defense kind of matches well with what Miami does. So I think it's a good matchup for the Cowboys in that way. And if you pressure Tua, it's shown that he falls apart.
Yep.
So I think in this is a good matchup where because if they lose that game, to me, the echoes of criticism of years past when it comes to Dallas will be even louder now, and I cause a distraction like it's always done for this team, and the road will just be clearer and clearer to what we know will happen. You'll go into the playoffs and lose.
And Dallas has already clinched a spot for the playoffs. Miami has not yet, even though Miami's leading the division. So Miami's last three are this week against Dallas, then they go to Baltimore next week, which could be a playoff preview matchup, and then they finish off at home against Buffalo, and that might be for the division.
Yes, it might be.
Might be.
Yes.
And Dallas finishes off at Miami, then they come back home to play Detroit next week, another big game, and then they finish their season at Washington. So on the road, but against Washington. So they might be sick.
The games are the games at the end of the season. Look, they're going to be entertaining, man. One after the other, we're coming across these games that are going to be pretty entertaining.
Yeah,
and it's our end of the season.
Oh, absolutely. This is NFL's loving this because they got a lot of good coming up here.
Yes, sir.
Which should be the game of the week, man. Monday night football on Christmas night, which is awesome. Baltimore travels to San Fran. I mean, this might be the preview of the Super Bowl. That's how big this game is. And to have it this late in the season is awesome. You don't see it that often.
No, you don't. You're right. You really don't see it that often, man. And Lamar Jackson has raised his game, like I said last week. It's just that this 49ers team is just seems unbeatable, man. They just seem unbeatable. There's so many great players on this team, all over the team. We're not just talking on offense or on defense. And they perform every week. It's scary the way they play and how they play well. And as good as the Ravens have played, we've seen stretches of mediocrity with them. All of a sudden, I can't say mediocre. Anyway,
we know.
we've seen that with them in spurts. And that's the only thing we're questioning. But if Jackson could keep throwing the ball like he has, and his wide receivers separating like they have, even with them with him missing his primary target, the big tight end, he has performed admirably and seems like the old MVP Lamar Jackson. So this is going to be an interesting matchup. I can't wait to watch it.
Yep. And San Fran, their last three games, they've already clinched their spot. I think they clinched the division as well already. But this is more for home field, which they already got a game advantage over Philly and Dallas and Detroit. Their last three, home against Baltimore, at Washington, which should be an easy game, and then back home against the Rams.
That might be a challenging game because the Rams could play spoilers here because they're playing really good football.
And Baltimore's last three games, they've clinched they've clinched a playoff spot. They got a two-game lead over Cleveland, so they have to lose two out of these three. Cleveland would have to win their last three, but Baltimore's last three, interesting, their first two. Obviously, San Fran this week in San Fran. Then they come home to play Miami, and then they come home to play Pittsburgh in the final week.
Oh.
the Miami game is interesting because Miami is, we know what they're capable of doing, but they're kind of like Dallas.
Yeah, basically. That's like that Spider-Man meme.
Yep, exactly.
That's what's going on with that Dallas Cowboy Miami team meetup. Yep.
They are Dallas. That's the AFC version of Dallas.
Yeah.
Right?
Offensive juggernaut that shows up sometimes.
Defense, same thing.
Defense that plays sometimes-ish, sometimes they don't. Yeah, so, great call. You're right.
So that's our preview for Week 16. Hope you enjoyed it. Everybody, if you're celebrating, Merry Christmas. Have a safe and happy holiday weekend. Enjoy the games. Enjoy family. And we'll see you guys next week.
Merry Christmas, guys. Enjoy.